Okay, let's get started. And I will begin by saying this, that the New Testament says nothing about homosexuality. If somebody were to tell you that, what would you answer? Oh, yeah? It says in there somewhere. You what? Okay, Mark said Romans 1. Romans 1 what? 26 and 27. 28. You ever get to the point where somebody asks you about the Bible and you say, well, I know it's in there somewhere. Somewhere it says this. Paul suggests that we need to be prepared for such a situation. When he said, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, exhort with great patience and instruction. What does it mean to be ready in season and out of season? Means to be ready all the time. Anybody see any problem with that? Be ready all the time. It's what?
Not likely to happen.
Okay, what's not likely to happen?
Be fully aware and prepared.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Here's the thing. Usually when people give you the tough biblical questions, that usually happens when you're tired, you're distracted, you're doing something else. There's a lot of times where you can't, like, wait a minute, stop right here, let me go get my concordance. We can't be doing that. Today's lesson, we're going to be talking about Bible memorization or scriptural memorization. And you'd think that, well, you know, 5 minutes and we're done. Let's move on to the next lesson. But I thought that for our last lesson of the year, that we would go into a little bit more depth than this. Memorizing scripture actually helps you be ready in season and out of season. In season, when you're prepared, when you're ready for it. Out of season, when you're not. At 2 a.m. and somebody calls you up on the phone. Now tell me about that scripture. What? It happens, believe me. It is good to memorize scripture. Definition. A definition of scriptural memorization. It's the intentional act of putting a given text into one's conscience. Why do I need to do that if I can just carry this everywhere I go? Or I can carry this everywhere I go? I can just look it up. What is the point of memorizing scripture? That wasn't meant to be rhetorical.
Psalm 119, verse 11.
Yep.
I did your word in my heart that I would not sin against you.
Okay. So, you evidently had that memorized.
Yes.
You knew how to answer the question. Made it easy, didn't it? Yeah. Actually, when scripture is on our conscience, it's not hidden somewhere where we can't imagine it or think of it. When we're thinking about scripture, it is amazing how much we use that scripture. And it's not necessarily using the scripture to quote it at people, but it is to give a reference or a foundation for what we're doing. It is I find it extremely healthy to know the scriptures and know what it says, because there's always these people that will misquote things. Anybody ever have people misquote scriptures to them? Yes. Yes. You ever hear that somebody tell you that the money is the root of all evil? Is that scriptural?
No.
Why not? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, but it doesn't mean that the love of money is the root of evil. Okay, that is a huge distinction, because money and the love of money are two different things. Any other scriptures that people quote that they get wrong? Well, for one thing, is most quoted scripture in the Bible, what is it? No, it's not. Matthew 7:1. Do not judge lest you be judged. And that is a quote that people use to say, you should never judge, you should never hold me accountable for my actions. However, it is beneficial to learn the second verse. And it begins by when you judge. Those are good things to know. Knowing the scriptures will help you communicate, help you share your faith. There's all kinds of people. God helps those who helps themselves. Oh, really? Actually, the scripture shows us that God helps those who can't help themselves. That's why he's there. Lots of things that, a lot of benefits. I'm hopefully by the end of the night, you will be compelled to pay a little more attention at memorizing scriptures. We're going to look at a biblical principle here. I hope I have this in order. I did this kind of quick today. Biblical principle is this. Our life depends on God's word. And we know that's a biblical principle because of Matthew 4:4. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our life depends on God's word. Is this a true statement, or is it just kind of an allegory? Does our life really depend on God's word? You know the answer is Jesus, but it just looks like a squirrel to me. What was that?
His word is how creation
happened.
Yep. Man came
to be at all. So. Yeah. But whether I know it or not, is that going to change that? Is God's word really life to me and to you? The what? Yeah. What did Jesus say? I am the way and the truth and the life. So real life is in him. Knowing God's word is knowing life. Not talking about existence. I mean, there are a lot of people that do not know God's word. They don't live on it. But the people that don't know God's word, eventually they're not going to be alive. Alive is in the presence of God for eternity. Death is an existence that's without the presence of God for eternity. Another biblical principle is that we are commanded to keep God's word in our hearts and minds. Keep God's word in you. What's the difference between those things? All right, we'll get back to that later. Let God's word dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do I have one more? Proverbs. My son, keep my words and store them up and up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. What's the difference between putting it in your brain and writing it on the tablet of your heart? Okay, that is a difference. But how do you know whether something's been written on your heart or you just have it in your brain? Heart is something you want, like a desire.
Well, in your brain, you know it. In your heart, you believe it.
In your brain, you know it. Your heart, you believe it. Okay. Okay, what you're talking about is the value of having it in your heart. The benefit of it. When you have God's word in your heart, so when I put God's word on my heart, I take it to heart. I believe what it's saying. I allow it to change me. I allow it to become the center core of my purpose or my existence. That's one way to look at it. Let's move on. Another biblical principle that helps us to overcome temptation. When we memorize Scripture, it helps us to overcome temptation. Psalm 119, 9, 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Thy word I have treasured up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This is always a good one, but we'll get back to that. Next principle. It will help us build strong roots of faith. Matthew 13, the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Memorizing God's word, you're not so likely to lose it. You hear something once and you say, I like it, agree. I'll always agree with that. And you ever meet somebody, you get their name, and then 2 seconds later, you can't remember their name at all? And you're thinking, that's not a bad name. It's not that I dislike the name. It's not that I just agreed with the name. Okay, I got the name. I'm moving on. And then I think, what in the world? What was that person's name? Happens to me every day. That's why if I have to ask you what your name is several times. But, and that's partly taking it to heart. But when we just hear it once, a lot of times we hear God's word once and it's like somebody telling us their name. If we don't make any effort to apply it, to associate that with something in our situation, we're going to forget it. Memorization helps us not to forget God's word and what it's actually saying. And then finally, it will help us to teach others. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed, and it is profitable for teaching, preaching, rebuke, correcting, training in righteousness. The last part of that, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. And I didn't quote it exactly. A lot of my memorization comes from the New American Standard and not the NIV, so it's going to sound a little different. So the purpose of memorizing, One is to maintain a growing dependence on the Scripture. I hate to say this because it's easily misunderstood, but Bible memorization is like a drug, and it can get addicting, and it gets exciting, and it gets fun. You ever sit down with a group of people and say, "Tell me about the verses you have memorized." You go and then I go and take turns and see how long you can go. How many verses can you do? Not many. Probably more. I mean, you might not remember the references. You remember John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And favorite camp verse to memorize, "Jesus wept." But there's a lot of verses that are fun to do, and it does develop a dependence. If I'm not careful, I'll start quoting a bunch. The next one: to be prepared to give an account of our faith. Why do you believe that you have to share your faith with anybody? Simple. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, not the broad gate that leads to destruction, but the one that leads to life. And a few of those that find it." Many find the broad one, but few find the narrow one. It helps our faith to grow strong. You pretty much always got something on your mind most of the time. If you're putting God's word on your mind, what are you not putting on your mind? The things of the world. The things that probably not beneficial to have on your mind. I tell you what, I used to be guilty of this. Dreaming that if I only had $1 million. And that's disastrous for me. Because I sit there and I dream about, well, what if I got $1 million? And I am even greedy in my daydreams because I'm thinking if I had 1 million, then, you know, 2 would be better. You know, and then, well, if I had 2 million, why not 20 million? And you see, I, you know, instead of thinking about all the things I would buy with it, I'm thinking about all the money I would have. And, you know, it works up to $1 billion. What if I became the most famous inheritor of wealth, getting the most money at one time? Somebody hands me $3 billion. That's crazy. And you can be thinking about that and thinking about that and thinking about that. And you know what you're not thinking about? You're not thinking about somebody that needs to hear the gospel. You're not thinking about the lost, the hurting, the people that are in need. That can be rough. But it also does this. It helps us to build our faith in the Scriptures. The more we look at God's Word and the more we apply it to our lives, the more that 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 becomes more and more true. It is profitable. It is good for training in righteousness. It really does equip us for every good work. The person that is not in God's word is not going to know that, is not going to believe that. They're going to say, well, you know what? The Bible is out of date. It's old fashioned. It's not really applicable in this area or that area. And there's a person that does not know God's word. It helps us to build our faith in the Scriptures. we begin to trust it more. Any thoughts or questions about that so far? Now, there are two elements that should be considered in scriptural memorization. And the first one we're going to look at is the selection. How do you decide what to memorize? Anybody have any thoughts on that? How do you decide what to memorize? Does anybody memorize scripture? And if you do, how do you do it? Okay, an app. I might have that on here. Al? That's a problem with PowerPoint. I only have them in order, but that's later on. Let's go through these and we'll get to the app in a second. Choose a selecting method that will keep your interest. Whatever scriptures you are interested in, use that method, okay? And devotional method, thought of the day, an app that springs up on my phone. I get a scripture that pops onto my phone every day at 9, anywhere from 9:05 to 9:20 in the morning. And it dings when I get my daily dose of scripture. I got my fix for the day. Some people memorize that. Another one, pick a large text to memorize. How many of you, you can memorize a verse, but memorizing a whole chapter is also good. My favorite one is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the paths of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. But the wicked are not so. They are like the chaff. The wind blows over them, and they are no more. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the assembly of the righteous, or the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That is the entire chapter of Psalm 1. 6 verses, not too bad. I mean, it's not that difficult. But I learned that, was that your graduation or Sarah's? One of my kids' graduations like 7, 8 years ago, I thought, well, you know, it'd be fun to memorize the chapter. And I did that. What's wild is I haven't forgotten it. What's wild is that stays with me. And there's so many things in that that grab my attention. But that's what happens when we memorize things. I almost had the entire book of Philippians memorized. Didn't quite get there, but I got most of it. Didn't memorize it in order, and I should have. But it's good to do large portions. Also, there's the response method. When you're talking with somebody, you ever talk to somebody and you want to tell them about God or something and you can't think of the scripture? And then when you're done talking with him and you go back home and then you think of the scripture, that's the scripture you should memorize. So that the next time that comes up, well, you can have an answer. There are many methods of scripture memory. How do you guys memorize scripture? There's a lot of different ways. Repetition, read it over and over and over again. Yeah. Hendersons aren't here, are they? Years ago, I was with Connor, and we were memorizing. What did we memorize? I think we memorized the Lord's Prayer. I think he was a Boy Scout for a patch. And I had the Lord's Prayer on my computer. And I said, Connor, read this several times. And I'd have him read it. And then I would go in there and I would take out a word. And I said, read it. I took out a word, but you read it with the word. And he would do that. And we did that over and over and over and over again. Then I only had one word left, and he did the whole thing. And then when I took the word off, he had the whole thing memorized. And it only took about 20 minutes. And I think he was in third grade. Sometimes you can memorize things by reading it and then just taking out one word at a time. Any other methods on memorization? Yeah, one sentence or phrase at a time. Yeah, I do that a lot. That's kind of how I do it. I do the phrase, and then I say that phrase a couple of times, and then I say that phrase and another phrase, and then I go back and do the two phrases that I've learned, then the third phrase, and then the three phrases that I've learned, then the fourth one. Yeah. Yeah, let's look at some of these things. Read it over and over again. How many of you guys have been to Jericho Junction? Do you guys find it amazing that these little kids get the scripture verse? But how many times have they heard it? A gazillion times. They hear it over and over and over again. Repetition is very good. One sentence or phrase at a time. This one, 3x5 cards. I use 3x5 cards as a response because on the back of the response, like last week, we talked about how do you respond to this or that, you know. Doesn't everybody go to heaven? And on the back of the card, I have the scripture for that. And I try to just look at the excuses instead of the answer. And then one more. Listening to audio Bibles, listening to them over and over again. I like doing that. My Accordance Bible on my iPad, I can read it, and in the middle of the night I can change it to where it's black with white letters instead of white with black letters, so it doesn't keep Kathy awake all night. But I can hit a button and close my eyes because it'll read it for me, and that helps. Any other method on memorizing scripture? Let's move on. Personal considerations. You're struggling with your walk with God and you're having a hard time overcoming temptation. I highly recommend that you grab some scriptures and you memorize them. There's a lot of different ways to memorize. You remember Matthew? Yeah. You get angry and you say something that you shouldn't. People say, count to 10. You remember what I say? Count to 4. Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. Matthew 12, 34. You brood of vipers. Don't you know that from the mouth speaks that which fills the heart? That's a good scripture to have in mind for hot-tempered people. And say, hey, wait a minute. Whatever I'm saying, that's what's filling my heart. Having a hard time overcoming temptation, scripture is good to remember that. Another one. Does your witnessing seem to be ineffective? I will tell you this. God's word makes you look good. It makes you appear smarter than you really are. I kind of chuckle and laugh when somebody says, Jack, you're so intelligent. No, I'm not. I just use God's word a lot, and it makes me appear intelligent. But it's amazing how God's word is way more powerful than anything we can say. There is something to God's word that penetrates people's hearts better than any counseling session I can do with them. God's word is really the best counselor, the best advisor, the best teacher there is. And all we do is follow it. And really, you appear pretty wise when you use God's word. It's when I decide to use my own words that I stick my foot in my mouth and I say something stupid. The more God's word we can use. Now, that doesn't mean you're not listening to somebody and you're throwing a bunch of scriptures at them. I don't mean that. We speak the truth in love. Where have we heard that before? Who can tell me what scripture that is? Really? You don't know? Everybody. Every time you walk in that door, you're going to see it on that wall. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in every way into Christ, who is our head. That is our spiritual address here. That is our physical address. We're 415 North Fremont. That's Ephesians 4:15. Okay, if you don't memorize any scriptures, I highly recommend that you go out in the foyer someday and just memorize that one. We are in trouble.
I cannot remember. My memory is just not like it used to be.
Well, then I'm not doing a good enough job reminding you over and over again. Ephesians 4:15, and that's what I have in the little flyer out there. I tell people we got our physical address, 415 North Fremont, but Ephesians 4:15 is our spiritual address. We speak the truth in love, and by doing so, we will grow up into Christ, who is our head. In every way, we will grow. That is so important. And the reason that that verse is so important is that speaking the truth without love makes us legalistic. Speaking love without truth, well, that's kind of mushy, kind of flimsy. Truth and love must go together in our teaching and in how we approach other people and how we talk to them. And when you love somebody, what is the definition of love?
Putting their needs ahead of yours.
Yeah. The definition of love is perhaps one of the most easy definitions there is, and yet one of the hardest things to do. Looking out for somebody else's best interest. Doing what's best for them. Now, sometimes love doesn't appear loving. You're on a road and you see somebody driving up the, exiting off the on-ramp, and you're yelling and screaming at them. If people only saw you yelling and screaming at them but didn't realize the danger that somebody else is in, you're going to think, man, you've got a temper problem. You've got to chill out. But when their life is in danger and they're going the wrong way on an exit ramp, loving sometimes is yelling. How loving is it to say, well, you know, we'll live and let live. If they choose to do that, we'll just let them go. Not so good. Anyway, does your witnessing seem to be ineffective? Here's another one that may or may not be true. Do you find yourself doubting things you know to be true? Has that ever happened to you? Did Jesus really die on the cross? Did he really promise to save me? What if I'm wrong? What if Buddha is right? What if the Hindus are right and we're going to come back as a one-legged duck or a cow or a grasshopper? Some days I feel like a grasshopper. When you're not in God's Word and you don't have it in your heart, you tend to doubt the things that you know are true. Does anybody know what I'm talking about there? Does that make sense? Number four, do you turn to God's Word first for solutions to problems? You've got a problem, you've got a problem. Where do you turn? Do you turn to God's Word? Or do you try to solve it yourself and God's Word is the last place that you turn? I have four questions and I don't think they're on your paper. And you don't need to write these questions down. They're just questions to think for. Is it possible to have something on your heart that is not on your mind? Is that possible? What do you guys think? You think so? How does that work?
You can think about nothing.
Yeah, but is it on your heart?
In your question, if something's in your heart, can it be in your mind?
Can something be on your heart and not in your mind?
Yeah.
How? Well, what does it mean to have something on your heart? But that's not what we said earlier. If something is on your heart, that means you're applying it to your lives. Can you apply God's Word to your life without thinking about it?
I think the Holy Spirit can speak through you, through your heart. Perhaps it's not. Maybe it's in your mind somewhere.
Bypassing your head?
What?
Yeah. And if the Holy Spirit chooses to do that, he can. But is that the SOP of scriptures? Is that standard operating procedure that we'll just let our minds go mush because, well, we'll just let God get in our hearts? I believe that in order for you to have something on your heart, you have to have it in your mind first. And you have to record it. You have to date it. And what I mean by that is that you have to fall in love with that. You have to spend time with it. And you have to apply it. Meditating on God's Word, one way to meditate on it is to change the nouns and the pronouns. For example, for God so loved Jack Langley that he gave his son Jesus. That if he believe, that if Jack Langley believes in him, Jack will not perish, but have everlasting life. You ever do that to scriptures? And I'm not saying you have to teach it that way, but that's a good way to look at it. It makes it personal, but it also helps me love it. Yeah. Psalms is perfect for many of that. Yes, it is. Next question. What does it mean to say we are responsible to not only know God's word, but to learn it? What does that mean? We are responsible not only to know God's word, but to learn it. Is there a difference between knowing it and learning it? What? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, there's all kinds of people that know it, but they haven't learned it. Okay, yeah. When Jesus was tempted, why did he quote scripture when he was tempted? Okay, that's an idea. I mean, it doesn't say that, but keep his focus on God. Reassure him of his own faith. Why else did Jesus quote scripture when he was tempted by Satan? To be an example for us. What was the example he set for us? We should turn to God's word. Whenever we're in trouble with Satan, whenever we're in trouble with temptation, whenever we're in trouble, period, we go to God's word. Any other reason why he quoted scripture? It's indisputable, that's for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that I tell my staff when I go to camp, and I used to dean a lot, I used to tell them, you know, like, forgive one another. And things like that. He says, these kids are going to grow up and they're going to know I should forgive. They're not going to remember where they first learned it. These little kids, they might like Jericho Junction, but when they're 30 years old, they're not going to look back on their life and say, in Jericho Junction, I learned to forgive people. And that's where I learned. Very rarely, people are going to just remember things, but they're not always going to remember where they learned it. When we teach lessons, sometimes teachers can get hung up on making the event memorable and overlooking the lesson. But it's the lesson that's going to make the impact. They need to hear the information. And I don't know, with me, I have to hear something a dozen times before it sinks in, before I actually learn it. I don't learn things right away. I'm not, well, Jesse's not here. That guy, he reads something once and he's got it learned and it's applied. I mean, that's just crazy. I don't have that kind of brain. Conclusion is this. And that is, we should make it easy for the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Bible memorization makes it easy for him to work through us, to use us in the way that he sees fit. Any thoughts or questions? Now, if you've noticed, on the back of your worksheet, there are 100 scriptures. These are all scriptures at one time or another that I've memorized. And you don't have to follow these. What? You don't have to follow these, but I thought that for the summer we'd give you a challenge to see how many of these scriptures you can memorize by the time next Wednesday night comes around in the fall. How many of these can you do? You can do one? Okay, I know. Okay, Jeremiah 29:11. My favorite one. Okay, can you quote it? No, don't look.
First part, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you.
And then what else?
To give you hope and a future.
Give you hope and a future.
Big part.
Okay. I tell you what, when you come together, meet, you ought to have a scripture party sometime and see what you can do. I mean, it sounds crazy, but you'd be surprised at the different verses that you can come up with. And then there are scriptures that you think you know that maybe you've forgotten. Anybody else have a favorite verse that they have memorized? Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:8.
Okay. Anybody else have any favorite scriptures? Oh, wow. Cool. I don't have that on there.
1 John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God.
Okay. Any others? Philippians 4:13? Well, okay, what is it?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Okay. Yeah. Any other favorites?
Romans 12:1.
Okay, what is that one?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or spiritual, depending on which service.
Spiritual act of service. Okay. Any others? Surely we know more scriptures than that, don't we? A lot of you are thinking of stuff, you just don't want to say it. It's okay if you get it a little wrong. Not that, I mean, for our purposes. Okay.
Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is.
Wait a minute.
Perfect will.
Wait a minute. Romans 12:2, and that's a scripture that tells us this is how we can know what God's word is. How do we know what God's word is? God's will is, I mean. What did your verse say? You know what that tells me? That tells me that the more we put God's word into practice, the more we're going to understand his will. Understanding God's will is not just reading a book and knowing the facts. It's applying it to our lives. Any others come to mind? What are you thinking, Steve? Oh, okay. You took a breath and I thought, oh no, you got a good one over there.
I know one from Revelation, but I don't know where it's at.
Okay.
When I was a young people, long, long time ago.
Yeah, well, where does it go? Yeah, whoever has a son.
Now I'm going to look that up here until I find it.
Yes. Now, does your say has life eternal? Yeah. What was that? Yeah. That's cool. I don't know. I'm hoping that this, the whole point of this lesson was to stimulate you for the summertime in hopes that you'll take this kind of seriously and look over these. Read these through. Check off the ones that you know, because you might be surprised that you know a whole lot more than you realize. There's a lot here. Most everybody knows John 14:6. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. But I encourage you guys, we might have a contest going. We might have a reward for those that can do the most scriptures and memorize the most. I'm thinking like a steak dinner or something. If you memorize all those, I will buy you a steak dinner. Well, okay. Now you got 99 more to go. But we got all summer to work on it. Yeah. Well, we got one for the lifetime out in the front room, and nobody knew that one. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do if we put up more. But no, but that's a good idea. Actually, I like that. At our camp, every shower stall has a different scripture in it, and it's if you go into camp in the showers, there's a different scripture. And on the men's dorm, it has scriptures on being a man, and in the women's showers, there's a lot of Proverbs 31 in there, you know, about women. Anyway. Can't think of one. Yeah. This. No, but. These are good to memorize. How many of you think that this is something that you would enjoy doing this summer? Memorizing?
No? I just found that one of them way back when I was a teenager.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, let's close with prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is more than just words on a page. It's more than just your thoughts and your ideas. It's the way in which we can be drawn closer to you. And your word is life-changing. Your word is life-giving. Lord, help us to not forsake it. Help us to not ignore it. Help us to not just read it and glance away, that we might forget what we've seen. But help us to meditate upon it. Help us to memorize it. Help us to put it in our lives in such a way that we live your will. So, Lord, this summer, as we look at these scriptures, help us to remember. And though it's hard to memorize, it's difficult, Lord, give us the wisdom, give us the skill that we need to do that, so that your word will not return to you void. Thank you for our lesson. Thank you for this year in our Wednesday night Bible study. Please bless our summer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.